Hey guys, welcome to Dad's Group Podcast. My name is Blair.
And my name is Burnsy. Our podcast is all about helping fathers, helping families. In fact, our whole movement is about helping fathers, helping families. And we're live right now with our next podcast guest, Jason McEwen. Welcome to the podcast, Jason.
Thank you, Burnsy.
So, Jace, we're really excited to have you because you have the distinguished title of being the first ever person to join Dad's Group, full stop. Like, not a Dad's Group, but like the initial Dad's Group. But let's start off, and Blair, I'll throw this one to you as well. But why don't we start with a bit of a check-in? How's everyone going out of 10 today?
I'm good, but I'm sensing a little bit of a lie here. I'm sensing a lie. Jason, I don't think Jason was the very first person in Dad's Group, were you?
I was not the very first, but I wouldn't be able to tell you who the first person was, but I'm pretty sure one of the first. But
claim it.
I'll just, sure. Get on board with
fundamental
that.
To Dad's Group.
Well, then I've just dropped because I was a 10 out of 10, but now I'm down to a 5. And that's not just on you, Jason. That's on Blair, because Blair was the one who told me that you were the first ever.
I know. When I said that was a lie, I'm admitting it was my lie. It was one of the first.
It's like nearly, 9 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
It's not easy to remember who was the first back then.
No. You know, we all make mistakes, and that's fine. I'll admit mine. But I'm going to rock a 9.5 today. I always say 9.5 instead of 10 because the day, you know, room for improvement. So we can always get better. How are you, Jace?
Yeah, I'm going to say a 9. And I also wanted to say I love this question. And we use it in my workplace with my meetings. And I also use it with the kids when they finish school. How was your day out of 5? 5's a little bit easier for them to manage.
Yeah. But
otherwise, they start getting a bit creative with their answers. But it's a great question to ask so that you can sort of go, okay, I need to tackle something a little bit later on if it's not so great. But 9, because I'm with you guys. So
I've been doing that with Amy actually recently as well. Is like, you know, you try and read a situation and you just don't know. You just can't interpret the situation. So you ask, all right, just tell me how you had a 10. And then you know, all right, cool, this is something I've done a boo-boo, or and I need to ask for forgiveness, or no, we're good. She's just tired. We're good.
So I've got no comment on that one. Jace, let's. I wonder if you could introduce yourself, your family, and your work, because you're not just part of Dad's Group, but yeah, I wonder if you could give a bit of background to who you are and why you're here.
Well, big question. Where do I go with that? I'm married, obviously, with two boys, and I'll call them JJ and JT. For the podcast, that is actually what we call them around the house as well, quite regularly. And they're 9 and 7 now, so we've been a fair way through this journey. Not that far, but still far enough. My wife and I both work full time and have done so for a lot of their childhood, which has created its own challenges, obviously. For work, I head up marketing and partner engagement, or I guess fundraising, for a Christian nonprofit called mm-hmm. OM Australia. And it's an exciting place to work. We work in 147 countries around the world. So I get to see and hear stories from all over the place that just inspire. And I get to see dads everywhere. So there's always something to talk about there.
But Jace was actually my boss up until this week, right? Because Amy works for Jace. And then Amy was on maternity leave. I filled in. Look, it was great experience. It wasn't my strong points, social media, but did it. And it was great. It was a great place to work. But that's just a little fun fact for you.
Yeah, Jace used to be my boss. Blair. You did well.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's cool. Let's dive into the dad stuff, hey, Jace. I'm wondering, what's been your highlight from your dad journey so far?
There are so many highlights. There are so many highlights. It's so many moments that you just make you smile or you think back on and just love. But I would say one of the things for us is that we've always prioritized experiences and memories over things. And so, you know, those often bring out a lot of the highlights, you know, whether it was my wife and I took the boys somehow to Japan for 2 weeks when they were 10 months and two and a bit. And they were in prams. And I think one day we walked for 16 Ks and they both had naps in their prams as we were going. And so it was just like, it was actually a lot of fun. But the biggest highlights for me at the moment are when the kids demonstrate in a subconscious or, you know, in a manner that's not purposeful, that they have actually understood what you're trying to teach them. You know, they take those lessons and they actually put them in place. And for me, one of those massive highlights is that every day when I drop the kids off at school, drop the boys off, they actually know off by heart now what I'm going to say. and it's always like, you know, number one. And I go, what's number one? They like, be kind, you know? And so what's number two? And they're like, be brave. And then what else am I going to say? And they're going to say, you're going to say you're so proud of us, you know, that you love us, that sort of stuff. And then shut the door, which is inevitably what happens. But yeah, it's, we've used that sort of every day when I drop them off. Be kind has always been the thing that I wanted them to be known for. So when we got some Christmas cards for the kids from their classmates last year, and in JJ's specifically, they just said, we love how kind you are. And I was like, yes, you know, he's got it. And other kids are seeing it. So that was a huge highlight, you know, for me. It's that kindness, you know. So how do you
reinforce those things, Jace? Like, so it's, you know, we've often spoken about traditions or values that we really try and instill into our families. So this is something that you, as a value of yours, is be kind, you know, be brave, or the other one, sorry?
So it's be kind, be brave, and then it's, you know, I'm proud of you. And then, that's right. I love you.
Yeah.
No, it's a good question. We're from, I think they're probably about four or five. We actually wrote up our family values up on a sheet. And we did it together. We went through it together. And number one was always be kind. One of them was we do not hit each other.
number one.
But JJ came in at the end and he's like, we finished and we were putting up on the wall. He goes, I forgot one. And he put it up and he wrote it up there in his own language. So he must be about six, so because he could write a bit. And he wrote up, be courageous. And we're just like, yes, you know, type thing. So that was up on the wall. So we constantly referred back to that. And even this morning on my way to dropping them off, we were talking about their friends. And JT was struggling a little because, you know, his friends want to do one thing and he doesn't want to do it. So he's like, they're not my friends anymore. And I'm like, that's not how friendship works. working through that. And then it's like, hang on, let's come back to being kind. You know, how do we be kind? We think of others first. You know, we want to do what they want to do. We want to be kind. So we bring it up in a lot of life circumstances, even when it's them fighting with each other. It's like, hey, are you guys being kind right now? Come on. And so it is a reinforcing. It's a lot of repetitive, you know, messaging. But, I love that I'm seeing it come through, and it's really highlighted a lot. So, yeah.
We talked about something like this previously on the podcast with Dave Joyner, and he works in schools, and what he presents to kids is what's your code? And it's a very similar sort of thing. It's like basically what's your top values? And he talks about how when he's working with school groups that he'll often ask kids, so what are your family values? And they just sort of blank. And then he'll ask, does your family have values? And they still blank. And I guess what he's sort of getting at there is, you do have to be this explicit, and I love that you guys have it up on the wall. You're talking about it, you're reiterating it in you know, moments like in, you know, talking to your son about how to work through this situation with his friend. So, yeah, I think it's really you're sort of highlighting how we can keep it front of mind for our kids that, you know, because I think most families do have a set of values, but yeah, it has to be visible for it to sink in with our kids, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because like, think about how much you say to your kids and how much they actually take away from what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like, go upstairs, brush your teeth, get dressed, you know, all that for school. And how much of those things get done without you having to remind them? Maybe one if you're lucky, but yeah.
So let's hop into the time machine, Jason. Let's go back to the delivery of one of your children. You pick one. But what would you tell yourself? Like if you were in that room with yourself, what would you say to past Jason about fatherhood, about family, about life?
I'd probably spend half an hour telling past Jason a number of different things, I think. Just to encourage him to, you know, with what's about to happen. Because really, you know, I'd be saying, buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Life's not rosy, you know, with everything that's going on. There are going to be some tough times, but, you know, you're going to get through it. And I guess one of the big things I would say is guard yourself against comparison. Comparison can be really dangerous. It's not just comparing how I parent as a father or how my wife parents, but also what my kids do, what their passions are, how well they do at things, how well they, you know, what passions, which directions they want to go, what sports they play, all that sort of stuff. Because when you start to compare with other kids or other parents, you start to feel like you're not doing so well. But the reality is, I may not have as much energy as the next parent, or, you know, my wife and I both work full time and we're watching, you know, some parents where the wife is a stay at home mum. Both those things, you know, are both completely valid. But it means that there are different experiences. And so when you start comparing, you can start to, measure up things with how others are looking and what you see of them, but you're not in their lives every day. I'll say that because what we discovered, going back to JJ, when he was 8 weeks old, we discovered that he had a vision impairment. And so that's the other thing I would say, hold your dreams for your kids loosely. Your dreams for them may not be their dreams for themselves in the future. You know, I would say, you know, I'm like, hey, he's going to be an Aussie Rules footballer, or he's going to be a pilot or an astronaut, or all these sorts of things. When you find out your son has a vision impairment at 8 weeks old and you discover he's probably not going to be able to drive, you know, when he's 18, you know, that sort of thing, you start to think back on, you know, what are all the things that he's going to be able to do or not do? And you start to grieve, I guess, those things that he's not going to be able to do. But the reality is, to become an Aussie Rules footballer is a pretty difficult dream to achieve. I'll be honest. I mean, JT has full vision and he's not interested in football at all. So he's also not going to be an Aussie Rules footballer. But he loves watching it. But yeah, it's when he had a vision impairment, we started seeing how he was with other kids. And for a long time, because kids move really quickly, he would gravitate to adults. And he wasn't building those connections with other kids because adults move slower. So I can see them better. And so, you know, you start, if you were comparing, you're sitting there going, well, all those kids are, you know, really connecting as friends. And here's JJ sitting out by himself. You know, that sort of thing. And why isn't he as confident, or why isn't he doing as much as those other kids are doing? But when I look back and I just go, like, he's one of the most resilient kids I've seen. Like, you know, that sounds like comparing again, but, I'm so proud of his resilience. Like he self-advocates, he goes for it. He runs like, you know, he's got full vision. He wears pants because he knows he's going to fall over, so he doesn't want to hurt his knees as much. So even on a really hot day, he's got long pants on. But he's learned how to deal with these things himself. And there's a real resilience around it that I admire, you know, from that. But as I was saying, yeah, coming back to that comparison, it's dangerous. It's also, I mean, I say guard because there are ways that still with comparison that you identify maybe some development issues and things like that in your kids and things that are not because of behaviors that they're not doing. But to be wise with that and to go to the books and go to the professionals that know this stuff and not just look at it and just go, well, my kid's, you know, not standing up to the measure of these kids, so there must be something wrong. It doesn't mean there is, you know. It just means that, you know, like JJ loves science, you know, he loves singing. He would play sport if he could, but he can't see the ball. So, you know, that makes it very difficult. And so, that's what I'd be, I guess, you know, some of the learnings that I've had to go through over that time. So,
yeah, for sure.
And I think like there's a bit of, you know, with that comparison stuff, I think what you're hitting on is some of that, you know, the strengths-based approach of like, let's call out what our children can actually do instead of what we hope they could do. And I think that's the big shift in fatherhood between like our generation and previous generations, isn't it? That we're a lot more focused on, you know, where's my kid actually at versus, you know, where do I want them to be at in life? And I think that's really the driving thrust of Dad's Group, isn't it? That you've got a generation of guys who want to do it differently, and who want to, yeah, I guess honor their kids' journey, not just those hopes and dreams that they had before their child was born. So yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. That's illustrative, I think, for why Dad's Group to begin with, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you may or may not have been the first ever dad to sign up for Dad's Group.
We'll never know.
take us back to that time because, you know, Dad's Group's been around for 9-ish years and some of the dads listening to this might not know how Dad's Group came about or what was sort of those initial beginnings. So I wonder if you could tell us a bit about what was it like back then of, you know, how did Dad's Group come about? What was it trying to stand for or address?
Yeah, sure. For me, it was I had this really sweet spot with my first, with JJ, in that I got to be a stay-at-home dad from when he was about 9 months old to 18 months. And JJ's is probably a few months, maybe 6 months older than Tom's oldest. So as the CEO, you know, the man who started it all. And so we were just that little bit, you know, further ahead. So when Tom started talking about Dad's Group on social media and I was a stay-at-home dad, so I started like, oh, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, I've just been through this experience. So I was heading towards the end of my stay-at-home sort of period and had realized that either all my mates who were dads had gone back to work, or had, you know, taken 2 or 3 weeks off, maybe a little bit longer, but they'd all gone back to work. And even a lot of the mums from the mums groups had gone back to work in different ways, or they had things that were going on. I never really felt connected to a mums group. As well as, you know, I'm 6'4", and so I feel like I could be a little bit, what's the word, you know, threatening maybe. I don't mean to be. I could appear to be. and so, you know, probably not feeling comfortable in joining a mum's group with that sort of stuff as well. So when I saw Tom starting to talk about Dad's Group, I'm like, this is awesome. This is what's needed out there, you know, for dads to be talking about this stuff or to come together, and because mums have been doing it. So why aren't we as dads doing it? And so I reached out to Tom pretty quickly, and I'd known Tom, for a long time. I hadn't seen him for quite a few years, but, reached out and said, I love what you're doing. How can I get involved as well? So it started rocking up to, right early days, at Ringwood, down in Melbourne, and in the park, I think near Schwerkel Cottage or something like that. And, you know, it was a brekkie that the Lions Club were putting on, and or was it Rotary? One of the two. That was putting on for, you know, for new dads. And they'll bring kids along, and, you know, so started meeting other dads there and loving the connection that it was bringing for those dads and seeing the kids. One of the things that excited me from the start was inevitably there would be a dad who forgot something, whether it was a nappy or whether it was, you know, some, I don't know, whatever it might have been, some wipes or, you know, and it was sounds how the other dads would always get around them and just go, that's all right, we've all done it, you know, here, have some of ours, you know, and share that, yep, it's cool, doesn't matter. That's, you know, it's not that big a deal. So that was a positive thing, I think, you know, for me to see that at the start and to get on board. It was shortly after that that I actually started Dad's Group Doncaster. And what I also really enjoyed from the ethos of Dad's Group at the start was if you're just getting one mate who's a dad to rock up with their kid, then that's a dad's group. It doesn't have to be numbers. It just needs to be some quality time between dads where you can talk about stuff. And I know that a mate of mine, Dave, came along a few times, and his son was probably about 6 months older than JJ. So he's, you know, about 6 months ahead. And there was one really important thing that I still remember now, that he, the advice he gave me on one thing. I am from a mixed culture, mixed race marriage. And so we've adopted some of the Sri Lankan culture of my wife in that JJ was going to bed fairly late. and it was probably about 9:30 maybe, you know, and he was going to bed. I don't know why we were doing it so late, because he was a great sleeper from really early on. But and David just said, why are you doing that? Like, if you get into bed by 7:30, that gives you and your wife a lot more time together in the evening. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I went home that day and just went, we are implementing this. And we did. And that was from that experience of talking as dads about the different things that we do and the different ways we do things. And it just came to light that, you know, here's someone who's 6 months ahead that can just give some real wisdom into what we're doing to make our lives a bit easier with our son. So, yeah, so that's how I got involved with Dad's Group. And there's been big dreams for it. And I've watched it grow. Being a part of the board is, you know, we get a lot of the information of how things are going and keep an eye on it, and we're passionate about it. And, yeah, I think that element of getting two mates together with their kids, because what's the other thing is that so many dads out there, you know, before they have kids, they're going to the pub on a Friday night, or they're going to watch the footy together, or they're doing that sort of stuff. And then they've got a new baby in the house, and you can feel guilty for going to do that sort of stuff, you know, because, you know, you're at work all week maybe, and then you come home for the weekend, you know, your wife needs you around to help out and all that sort of stuff. And so you don't get to go out with your mates as much. And so this provides that opportunity. Dad's Group provides that opportunity on, you know, to take the baby with you, give mum some time off, but you also get to hang out with some mates that know what you're working with and understand. So, yeah.
I love what you were sharing about, you know, going to the breakfast and, you know, a dad will come along and they're like, oh, I've forgotten this, and this, whatever. And all the other dads are getting around it. And I think that is the beauty of Dad's Group. But we get so many people getting in contact with us about starting a dad's group, you know what I mean? And we want to really encourage you. You know, there's a lot of people that inquire about seeing if there's a dad's group near them or starting a dad's group. Don't wait for an official dad's group to come up in your area. Like, get mates together and encourage each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you know mates, like, this is the beauty of Dad's Group. It's nothing tricky. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing official. The big part of Dad's Group is dads getting together and encouraging each other. at my local dad's group here in Albury-Wodonga. I don't think I've shared this in a podcast before, but I might have, because I love repeating myself. We had this new dad come along, and he had a preemie child, and this was the first trip that he'd ever done with his kid, right? The baby is so tiny. And he came along to a dad's group, and it was just a celebration. It was like, oh, mate, like, you know, welcome to fatherhood. Like, this is absolutely amazing. And we all got around him and celebrated, and he's like, he was really timid. He was really shy. He's like, I'm really embarrassed here, but how do I change my baby? You know what I mean? Like, how do I change a nappy? And where do I even do that? We're at a playground, right? Where there's a cafe there. And we had dads walk him over to the change room and show him, well, explain to him. So he did it, but explain to him, how do you change a nappy? And that was the beauty of it. It's, again, there's so much power behind dad's group and a bunch of dads getting beside each other. And it's so simple. Baby coffee playground. That's it. Do not wait for an official dad's group to start up in your area. You can do that. You have that ability. You have mates, you have kids, go do that, support each other. So I love you sharing that, Jace, because I think it just really captured dad's group. It's so simple, mate. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Absolutely. If dad's group had started as a program, you got to sign up for 10 weeks or anything like that, I just don't think it would have happened. You know, it's the fact that you can rock up when you can, you know, and if you can't the next week, that's fine as well. You know, it's all about working with dads in their real situations and their real lives, you know. So, yeah, 100%, Blair, agree. Like,
yeah. And, you know, we say now that Dad's Group is about helping fathers and helping families, is a tagline we've eventually landed on. And I think, you know, what we've highlighted is that help takes a lot of different forms. You know, for some dads, it's about the connection. Some, it's about that sort of extra support that helps them through like a mental health piece. Some, it's about, exchanging parenting tips and learning, you know, new tools for parenting, new hacks for parenting. And then others, it's just about getting out of the house and giving mom a bit of a break at the same time. So I wonder, you know, for you and for your family, Jason, what's been the biggest help that you've gotten from Dad's group? You've shared a few stories already about that experience. But, yeah, I wonder what would be the biggest help that you've gotten from being part of Dad's group?
It's, I would say, there are a lot of books and there are a lot of, you know, speakers that speak about parenting. And they all give you this, you know, how to make, you know, be the perfect dad. It's how it can feel sometimes. and you're just like a little bit overwhelmed. How do I remember the 10 points from that book and add it to the 10 points of the next book? And that speaker is said to do that and do this, you know, it's like, but when you come together as dad's group, for me, it's hearing the real life stories of how dads are doing things. And it's hearing about their stuff ups and their mistakes and that sort of stuff. And just going, okay, how do I really apply, you know, some of this stuff that from every dad I've spoken to, I think I've learned something new and different things that I go, okay, yeah, I really like that. Oh, that's not going to work with my kids. You know, a dad with two girls, sometimes I'll sit there and just go, oh, what a dream. when they're like around the 5 and 7 and they're sitting there for an hour coloring and I'm like, oh, wow, that would be awesome. but other things, you know, with, you know, as I said, you know, talking to dads and hearing their real stories and the real things that they've tried, because it gives so much more value, you know, sometimes to, you've heard or read something and one of those points, you're like, I just cannot see how that works in my life. And as a dad, and then you're talking to another dad and they're talking about without knowing they're talking about that point and you're just, now that makes sense. So when you pull it together, for me and for my family, I think, yeah, from dad's group, it is all those learnings that you're bringing home from it has been, you know, key. Looking, it also has helped me look out for the dads that I want to learn from, you know, and not just waiting for my dad's group or, you know, the group of dads that I'm spending time with, but going, okay, you know, I've got an uncle who I've, you know, he's 80 and, you know, I talked to him about how things he did as a dad when he was, you know, had young kids and things like that and learned from him on some of those things because I look at, you know, where his kids are now And yeah, I think it's broadened that view for me. And for the family, the boys, I think they've benefited hugely from that, that side of things. Yeah, I would say it's been a huge positive, you know, part of being part of Dad's Group, not just the little one, but the whole of Dad's Group, is to continue learning and hearing from others and how do I be a better dad?
Absolutely. And you sort of mentioned it there, like it's helpful for our kids as well. Like, because not only do they get to go out and have a play and meet other kids, but, you know, if we're getting better as dads, then we're better able to support them as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool to spotlight as well that, you know, it's called Dad's Group, but it really does impact the whole family. Mum gets a break, kids get better support from their dad, dads are better dads. So,
yeah, I think also in Dad's Group, there's a vulnerability or there's a showing of, hey, you're not going to be perfect at this. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. Like, you're going to get tired. You're going to yell. You're going to do whatever. You're going to get frustrated. You know, one of the things I learned early on as well, I think probably through Dad's Group, was, you know, we expect our kids sometimes to behave like adults. But they're not adults.
Yeah.
They're still learning how to be people. And but I think for me, coming out of that, as I see that, it's understanding and accepting that I am going to make these mistakes. But what matters about that is not about making the mistakes, it's what you do after you make the mistakes. It's how do you repair that relationship with your kids, right? And I think that was mentioned in a recent podcast as well, you know, talking about repairing. It's interesting because my wife and I were talking about this exact same thing just recently when we had told off JJ at one stage and he'd gone up to his room upset and stuff. And we got distracted. So we'd started talking about something else and, you know, all of a sudden he comes down and gives us a letter and goes back to his room. Like, he'd written this little letter and it was like, he goes, I'm not upset that you told me off. I'm upset that you didn't come up and talk to me afterwards. Like, you know, it's like, oh, so we've created this expectation really from the boys that we are going to come and talk to them. And I think they're the kinds of things that you learn through Dad's Group, is that you see a realness and authenticity of other dads dealing with real life stuff. And it's not just stuff that you've read on a page or you've listened to someone else speak about, you know, how to do things, but it's about going, okay, these are real experiences that people are going through, and what can I learn from their experiences so that I have to go through it as well, you know?
Jace, you've shared a lot about, like, your immediate experience of Dad's Group, but as you mentioned, you're CEO on the chair of Dad's Group. Not CEO, you're the chairman. Chair. <Yeah. laughs> The chair. Let me say that again. Jace, you've shared a lot about your experiences within Dad's Group, but you also are the chair of our Dad's Group board. So, you know, you have that bird's eye perspective of the broader, you know, machinations and operations of Dad's Group and what's happening across the country of within this movement. So I wonder if you could comment on what's the changing experience of fatherhood from your perspective? You know, sitting across this Dad's Group movement, what are you sort of seeing as the changes in fathers and in families from your experiences as our chair?
I think being the chair of Dad's Group makes me more aware of what other dad stuff is out there as well. You know, it's like when you buy a brand new red Honda, you start seeing everybody else's brand new red Honda as well, right? What is it? Cognitive dissonance or something like that? I don't know. So when you're involved with Dad's Group, you start seeing what everyone's doing in this space. And I think over the last 8 or 9 years, I've seen a lot more happening in that space. As you know, like, I was reflecting on social media that dads are feeling more vulnerable. Like, they are asking other dads questions. You know, there's Facebook pages that are like Dad's Life or the new Bluey one. I don't know if you've found that one yet, but you know, the questions dads are asking, I'm just like, this is awesome that dads are asking this. or dads are sharing their situation and other dads are responding and saying, hey, you know, this is, we can help you out with this. Or, and so through dads group as well, that's, I guess, being on that journey and seeing how dads group is doing that as well. You're seeing that same seed being planted in dads that they can be vulnerable, that they can share, you know, the struggles that they're going through. They can share mental health, and the whole space is moving. Mental health, you know, we've got more and more men willing to actually speak about mental health and acknowledge that there are problems in our society and things that we need to be aware of, but also how do we address that and support people with, you know, mental health issues and stuff like that. So through Dad's group, seeing that full growth, like it's not just within Dad's group, but it's about Dad's group for me has opened up that dialogue more and more. And the more I see it grow, and the more, you know, we're working in hospitals and working with councils and stuff, addressing that need. And what I love as well, I guess, is that, you know, it's highlighting for me as well, who else is out there doing this work, you know, and that, you know, we're not alone. It may have felt like it in the beginning and there was not many at all. And I know there was not many at all, but over the years, possibly some of it has come from Dad's group. People have seen that going, that's a great idea. I want to do that. You know, others have just, you know, heard from someone who's heard from someone who's heard from someone, you know, and that's how things have started and new movements are happening. So it's a really exciting space, I think, you know, where dads really can share a lot more now than what they, you know, from my dad's generation, no one talked about any of this sort of stuff at all. You know, you're on your own. You're, you know, alone out there in the cosmos, like just completely trying to figure it out by yourself, or ignoring figuring it out and just going about working and doing whatever you can, you know, to survive being a dad. Now I think we celebrate fatherhood a lot more. And I love that because, you know, there are many great dads out there, and dads have a huge impact and a huge influence on their kids. And so, and on their wives as well. And wives have a huge impact on us as well. But it's opening that whole space and that conversation, that dialogue, I think, is what I've seen a lot more of over the time.
Yeah, cool. Jay, so I want to end on this one. You know, there's a dad out there listening to this. His kid's running around, possibly without clothes on, possibly repeating himself every 5 seconds. But what would you say to a dad that's listening to this now? What would be your encouragement or your message to a dad listening to this now?
There's a lot of things I think, you know, I'd say. It comes back to you are going to stuff it up. Like you are going to make mistakes. And that's okay. It's the biggest thing for me. Don't look backwards, look forwards. So don't look back at your mistakes and the crap that you've done or the things that you've done, or you may have just yelled and you feel really bad about it. Don't continue to, I guess, wallow or focus on that. Look forward to what do you want to be as a dad? Who do you want to be as a dad? If you focus on that, you are more likely to head in that direction. If you focus back on the mistakes you've made, you're more likely to make those mistakes again. And so it's really about find that direction, you know, for you as a dad. Who do you want to be as a dad? How do you want to support your kids? I also tell dads, you know, with your kids, if you start a hug with your kids, let them be the first to let go, you know, because like you don't know how much time they actually need in that hug. They do. They'll tell you very quickly sometimes, no, I'm not up for this right now. Or JJ came to us the other day. He was trying to sell tickets to his recorder concert that we're super excited about.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing.
But the cost of the ticket was a hug. And so, like, oh, I just got to give him a hug. I'm not really excited about the concert. Because I can see the practicing going on. I'm like, oh, recorders, they just sound so wonderful. but, yeah, to give him a hug was just like, oh, man, seriously, it's a hug. That's awesome. So hugs are underrated sometimes. I think cuddles and hugs, there needs to be a lot more of them. And kids love them. And so let them let go first. It could be a long hug sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Jace, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate that you're a busy person. but I think we really wanted you on the podcast just so the dads listening know that at every level of dads group, it's just dads. And some mums, and you know, but you know, at every level of dads group, we're people who really care about and really want to see fathers grow and develop and become the best dads possible. So thanks for your time this morning. Thank you for all your insights and sharing your stories and experiences of being part of dads group, being the OG, possibly DG member.
One of.
We do need to still need to come up with a name for someone that's part of dad's group because, you know, dad's grouper, dad's, yeah, anyway.
Dad's but, groupie, no.
Just go with dads, man.
Dads, dads, yeah. Yeah. They're dads.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much, Jace. We appreciate you, mate.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for all you guys are doing as well. So,
and we want to thank you, our listener, for tuning in today, mate. These are just absolutely amazing episodes, amazing conversations, and it's not just for you. So we want to encourage you to share these with other people, with other dads that you might know or with other families. Like, subscribe, and share. If you guys are wanting more information about Dad's Group or accessing any of the resources that Dad's Group provides, please go to dadsgroup.org to check it out. Get the Get Support tab. Click on that. There's a lot of resources there for you and your family. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next week.